Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and today we are going to take a look at your dog. It's a pet care day, and we'll be talking about teaching your dog the social skills it needs. And I hope you join in the program as we talk with George Malara. But I also want to let you know that this is the last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and listener support is still the largest piece of funding here. So your gift right now could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes the program service that it is, actually. Jill Nadeau is looking at me and saying, well, come on, Larry, speak. Jill Nadeau, dog lover extraordinaire, with me here to help talk about our drive.
That's right. That is me. I love dogs. Always have. So I'm very excited to be here. And I'm very excited to have you back, Larry. Welcome back.
Yeah, and I can't do a Scottish accent.
That's probably a good thing.
I can't even try.
Good thing. Can you say we?
I can ask a question. Do we have any goals for this time?
I believe that we do. We have a goal for 35 people to join in with a gift. And, you know, when they do that, they really help us fund WPR News, and it helps us stay on track for this fundraising goal this time. So make your contribution now. Any amount works. Works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You, as you listen in, are very powerful because people who listen, you, provide the most significant share of funding for our programs. And your donation, think of it as an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the news, the conversations, the entertainment that keep you informed and engaged.
Your contribution keeps us independent, and we're a public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So give WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I always donate during our drives, and this drive, we have a set of two WPR notebooks available for your gift of $12 a month or more. These are small online journals. One's orange, one's green, and whether you go use it at home or you have a place for your lists and notes, you can ask for that set of WPR notes. And I'm going to donate for those because what I'm going to do is use them to take notes for the author's books that I read.
Instead of the envelopes, Larry?
Instead of the junk mail envelopes. This seems like a much better way to do it. So you could ask for your set of WPR notebooks when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I have definitely bought some crazy clothes.
It's a little thing, you wind it up and it goes across the top of the table. She broke it in the first 5 seconds.
Silliest thing. It was Kahlua.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Exactly right. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. During our fall member drive, Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau and listener supports, our biggest source of funding. That's why your gift could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose really does have an important impact.
It only takes a few minutes to support Wisconsin Public Radio. All we need is your name, your contact info, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552.
And this member drive support the WPR programs that you value and get a set of two WPR notebooks. They're letterpress. They're online journals. They have the WPR theme on the cover that says inspired, informed, and connected. And they've got these really cool circle things, that kind of
like
our logo.
Things.
I like circle things, too. You got circle things on your T-shirt right now.
I have circle things everywhere. My watch has a circle thing on it.
No, it doesn't. It's square.
No, but it's got a circle thing inside.
Okay. All right. We've been blabbing enough here, Larry. I think people want to hear from our guests. So just a reminder, now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing, monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. So get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Bill in Iola says, we love WPR, especially Larry Mueller.
Bill is one of the smart people of
the
world.
He is. Exceptional.
Join with your gift right now. It's powerful and really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And now let's turn our attention to George Malara. George, great to have you back.
Oh, Larry, thanks for having me back again. I'm so happy to be here.
He is a professional dog trainer. He owns Divine Canine in Madison. He's been a regular guest on our show for a long time. He's trained dogs for more than 20 years. Been a pet behavior counselor. He volunteers his time and skill with other not-for-profit organizations and rescue groups. So as we talk with him, I hope you join in. How's your dog do around unfamiliar people, perhaps? Does Fido make friends with other dogs, or does he or she shy away? What other pet care questions do you have? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This whole business of socializing your dog, it is extremely important, George.
Absolutely. One of the most important things. And, you know, when I came on with you at the beginning of COVID, that was the big topic.
Yeah.
All these dogs getting adopted, people getting dogs because they're at home. They felt like they could be there. But unfortunately, due to the no contact rules of COVID, those dogs were not being socialized. And we're seeing some of that blowback now. After 4 years, you're seeing dogs that weren't properly socialized during COVID, and they're struggling. So how do we deal with socialization? Well, when puppies are born, we have a really short window of socialization. We have to remember that dogs age a lot faster than us. So when they're about 4 months old, they're already heading into adolescence.
Yeah.
Imagine a human baby at 4 months being a teenager, right? But that's where our dogs are. And they're adolescents from about 4 months to about 2.5, 3 years. So that window of time when they're puppies is so important for appropriate exposure. A lot of people think that just taking their dogs out and taking them to a fair or a carnival or loud places is going to do the socialization part, where you could actually end up causing more fear issues by
scare the heck out of them.
Right.
Yeah.
So we want to do it nice and slow and appropriately.
And for young dogs, I mean, if you've got a puppy, it's got to be what, 6-8 weeks?
Eight, nine weeks. They should be away from mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it ever too late?
You know, they say that the window is from 0 to 20 weeks, but you can do some remedial socialization with older pups, you know, dogs that are going through adolescence or a little bit older. It's just a little bit more slow going, and you have to treat it with kid gloves. You have to make sure that you're not pushing them too far. And when a dog is scared of something, as logical as it seems for us to not be scared of it, if your dog is scared of the garbage can that got knocked over, dragging them closer to it is not going to help them. We want to keep that. Imagine if anybody's scared of anything. We don't want to move closer to it. We want to stay away from it. So we figure out where the pup is okay, still eating some treats, and we work from that distance, and we slowly move them closer and closer until they're comfortable. So that socializing happens over time.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are the signs that I'm certainly if a garbage can tips over and the dog jumps and runs away, but what are other signs that...
You know, if the dog is slinking or like sort of cowering down, their ears might be pasted back, they might be really moving slowly and cautiously towards the object, you're going to see a little bit of confliction, like, should I go closer, should I not go closer? And all of those early signs of them being a little bit nervous is when I would stop.
Hmm.
Anything past that, they're just going to get more scared.
It's worse.
Yeah.
So let's take some situations. Let's talk about introducing a dog to new people.
So if you have a happy-go-lucky dog, right, that just adores and loves anything vertical with a pulse, great. You know, you give your friends and neighbors treats. Maybe we focus more on not jumping up or, you know, just not being mouthy. But overall, when a dog is jumping and being pro-social, especially when they're young, I allow it because they're showing signs of being pro-social. We can always fix the jumping later. We want them to be able to sort of interact with people from a young age. The other really big component, and we've talked about this on air before, is, you know, the food.
Mm-hmm.
When we use food in training, if a dog is not eating, they're not learning. Right? So if a dog is put into a situation, so let's say they are meeting a new person and they're being timid or a little bit nervous and they're not eating treats, that's a big indicator of them not feeling right. So, Jill, if I asked you, what's your favorite food? You could eat 3 square meals a day. What would that be?
Oh, golly.
Top 3 are tacos, pizza, and sushi.
Nope, none of them. I would say shrimp fried rice.
Excellent. So you're
I'd go with lobster.
Lobster or shrimp fried rice. Good taste.
La-di-da, Larry.
So imagine you're in the bank doing some banking, and all of a sudden the bank is being robbed with people with guns. It's very crazy, hectic, and violent. And I come out of nowhere with the most beautiful plate of shrimp fried rice. Would you want to eat it at that point?
Maybe. No. No, I would not.
Right. And were you lying to me when you said you didn't like shrimp fried rice?
I was not.
No, because you're scared at that moment. You're scared for your life. And when a dog refuses food, it's not that they're being stubborn or obnoxious or rude. It's the fact that they're saying, I can't eat right now. That's how scared I am.
I would probably say, could you hold the robbery for a minute so I can have the lobster? No, I probably wouldn't do that. So, yeah, so that's something.
So coming back around to what you were saying, Larry, about, you know, the idea of socializing with people, if the dog is happy-go-lucky, wonderful. Everybody gives treats. The puppy's learning how to coexist with people. Mm. Wonderful. Now comes the puppy that's a little bit nervous around people. How do we help the dog feel better about new people and not being so scared around new people? Well, one of the big mess ups that people make is that they'll use treats and they give the dog 3 or 4 treats and they feel like that's token entry. And then they go, it's cool to touch you on the head now, right? And then we reach over and touch him on the head. The dog dips away fearfully and the dog's like, I knew I shouldn't have trusted you.
Mm-hmm.
So the technique I love to use is called treat, treat, toss. And it's so easy and it works so great. You have a dog that's a little bit nervous around people. So what we do is we give the dog 1 or 2 treats, and then we take a treat, we throw it way behind them so they have to go get it. So right there, a couple cool things are happening. Number one, their brain is switching from stranger danger to food acquisition. And then what does that dog have to do to get more food?
Run away.
No, come back to me.
Oh, come back. I see. But run to get the food, but then come back.
Come back to me. And you're actually able to reward a dog that's a little bit fearful approaching new people, which is a really great way to just sort of, you know, you lather, rinse, repeat, and you have a dog that's going away and coming back, going away and coming back, and we're building trust. And then we start scratching the chin a little bit, we start scratching the face, showing a affiliative touch, and then we can start scratching their ears and seeing how they go that way, all the while feeding them yummy, yummy, yummy treats.
I love that idea. George Malara, our guest today, professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Questions for him, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at socializing your dog on the program today with our guest, George Malara. Always great to have him come by and talk with us especially during our last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And Jill Nadeau's back with me. Your gift, any amount, makes a big difference.
That's right. And as we've been saying, if you haven't caught it, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that means that your support funds this program as well as all of the other WPR shows that you count on. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And when 35 people join in this hour, we'll be on track to support the quality and variety of programs you enjoy every day on WPR News. Wisconsin Public Radio, we're listener supported, and that means your gift Right Now makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, and this just in, those circles on that cover of that book we're giving away, the journal, they are featured a series of stylized land and cityscapes interconnected, representing beauty, richness, variety of Wisconsin.
Well, that's
who
what they mean.
Knew? So thank you, Sammy, for giving us that information. And now you know. So here we're here to give information, Larry. That's basically what we do. We help.
Pretty good information,
that's right.
I think.
And we do that because we're supported by listeners like you. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and all the other hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
Make that donation easy to do when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you. Let's say it's 10 or 20 bucks a month, and have it charged with your from your bank account or your credit card.
That's right. And when you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so you don't have to think about it. And your support is always current. So start your ongoing monthly gifts now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It's a really great way to support the WPR programs that you love.
Enjoy a set of WPR-inspired notebooks when you give $12 a month or more this drive. One green and one orange, the online journals feature a series of stylized Wisconsin landscapes and cityscapes on the cover, and they are large enough for your daily journaling, to-do lists, and reminders while being a convenient companion on the go. Give now and ask for your WPR journals. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our drive makes the news, the conversations, the entertainment you enjoy on WPR possible. And your gift, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And maybe you're thinking to yourself right now, I will support Wisconsin Public Radio tomorrow, because I don't know about you, but I like to think about things tomorrow. Well, actually, today is your last chance to support WPR during this member drive.
You could do it tomorrow, but it's going to be harder. Today is the easy way.
The easy day
to do it is right now. And if you don't delay, you can join everybody else who decided to do it today instead of waiting till tomorrow. And give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And these days, easy is good. And if you're wondering, how much should I give? Well, you know what? That is up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
So make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you for making an investment that serves the whole community.
It does. And ask for your set of those two WPR notebooks when you give $12 a month or more. They're basically online journals, and they're handmade from recycled paper. And they're described as orange and green, but that doesn't make it sound like super pretty. The orange, I think, is more of a nice caramel color. Right?
Yeah, I'd say
yeah.
caramel.
And it's a very light, pretty green. So there, I think that description is nicer.
And I'm going to get one. I wonder if Sammy could put a contribution in for me enough to get one.
Only if you call or go to WPR.org.
I know, but I can't do it right now. I can say it, but I...
Larry, they're going
to
be there
the show.
All day.
I need
stop
to call
the show.
In and
I
make
think
my
you should
contribution.
Do it live. Maybe you should do it live, and then we could all hear what it's like.
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy to do, but I usually just walk down the hall but
there you go.
That's after the show. I want to do it during the show. So, Sammy, I know you're listening, so just go ahead and make the contribution enough to cover the two notebooks. I will use them.
Okay.
Pretty much every time we have an author.
And she says we'll make a note for you. So you're good.
Okay.
You've got influence, Larry. So anyway, if you want to get those notebooks, or if you just want to support what we do, give us a call, WPR, or go to the internet first, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you very much for that. As we visit with George Malera and talking about socializing your dog, is kind of zeroing in on that a bit today with George. You can join in. The number's 800-642-1234 or email to talk at WPR.org. And Kirk in Winona, Minnesota, is online with a question. So let's go right to Kirk. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. George, I'm wondering, I rescued a dog from a shelter, and when I got her, they said she was 16 weeks old. I suspect she was actually older than that, so I knew I missed those critical 8 weeks from 8 to 16. She is great with people, but is still, 8 years later, very dog reactive. It makes going out anywhere with her, camping, anything like that, very difficult. Am I stuck with the dog, reactive dog, now for the rest of her life? We've tried to do socialization, took her to puppy boot camp and all of that thing, but she's still very reactive to other dogs. Great with humans. If you have two legs, you're fine. If you have four legs, we have issues.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for calling and thank you for adopting. You know, one of the things about behavior is that the more we rehearse behavior, we humans, dogs, animals, the more we rehearse, the better we get. And in this case, I would have a couple questions for you. The first is, does she ever get to go to dog parks or be off leash with dogs? Because there's two big differences when it comes to reactivity. The first is barrier frustration or leash-induced frustration. And that's when a dog really wants to go play, but they don't get to go play. They get frustrated. They start barking and lunging on leash. But those same dogs can be off leash with dogs and at dog parks. Then there's actual aggression, leash-induced aggression or barrier aggression. And that is whether the dog is on leash or off leash. They are not looking to make friends with dogs. And so when we start to figure out what's going on with your pup, one of the things I recommend for people to do is you go outside with a big treat pouch full of yummy treats. And every time you run into a dog, and this is the key issue here, you're going to wait until she sees the dog. That's so super important, because then when you give her the treats, the dog is causing the treats or food to happen, not the environment. The dog is causing the treats to happen.
The other dog.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So then what you get over time is that your dog will be walking down. They'll see a dog, and instead of reacting, they'll start to look at you. And that's how you know the medicine's working, because they're saying, oh, there's a dog. Give me my treat. And from there, you're starting to build a better relationship in your pup's mind to dogs being a good thing versus a bad thing. Now, this is going to be more management since your pup is 8 years old, but it won't be, it'll get a little bit better, but not entirely fixed, just because of dealing with age.
I wonder if, and you probably have thought about this and talked about it many a time, but if you've got a dog like that, is there a way to get the dog to be, you know, maybe teach the dog to be friends with, or get the dog and one other dog?
You know, it really depends. Sometimes that really works well. But when you have a dog that's like has straight up aggression towards other dogs, that's when it becomes difficult. But yes, having a buddy dog, or I call it an emotional support dog, that's that's really, you can actually help a dog feel better, a fearful dog feel better. If they have a dog that's a little bit more relaxed and cool, they can help transfer the energy in terms of the dog. So the dog that's fearful might feel better having a buddy around. And that buddy dog can be the buffer between people, dogs, and that dog doesn't have to socialize. But over time, they can come out of their shell watching their quote-unquote sibling dog feel better.
Have you noticed, George, if you have a dog that's similar to that and you bring another dog into the home, does that help change the dynamic with the original dog?
In terms of what?
Like stress or, you know, being reactive.
Absolutely. Okay. Especially with separation anxiety. I've had, you know, some dogs with separation anxiety, they just need a warm body in the house. And just having a cat, a dog, you know, just somebody in the house can work wonders to help them feel better.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know. Now, what if you have a dog that can kind of open a window and climb up on the roof?
Oh, boy.
I've never heard of this happening except in a couple of instances.
We're talking about my dog, Seamus, aren't we?
And there's
yes. I just had forgotten about that, but it popped into my head.
There's a dog that lives behind Bad Dog Frida that has access to a window, and he just lounges on the roof. And I'm like, what's that?
Yeah, you can find my house on the block because all the screens are pushed out.
But the first time you heard it, learned it, it was a neighbor calling.
Yeah, I was at a meeting and I got a call from my neighbor, and I'm like, I got to take this. It's my neighbor. You know, it's got to be important, right? So I pick it up and he's like, your dog's on your roof. Is he supposed to be there? yeah. So.
Well, oh, sweet Seamus.
Yes.
Oh, well, has your dog, as you're listening to this now, has your dog ever climbed up on a roof? Or does it have some other problems with socialization? You can join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. So a dog like that, you don't, like our caller's dog, you don't just start at a dog park, do you?
No, no, no. And that, so there's a technique in behavior called flooding. And flooding would be if, Larry, let's say you had a fear of spiders. Mm-hmm. I tie you to a chair and I just dump a box of spiders on you. And eventually you'll be freaking out at first and you'll be really upset, but eventually you'll shut down. So the shutting down part is what people believe to be the good part of the behavior, but in fact, it's just internal quiet turmoil and it's horrible. So we never want to push the dog too far, too fast. When it comes to basic obedience and manners, I'm the pushiest son of a gun you'll meet. But when it comes to emotions of the heart, I'm hyper conservative because we're dealing with fear and dogs can be very, very sensitive around fear. So we have to work just slower.
Just slower. You can join in too. Lots of callers coming in. The number's 1-800-642-1234. I get my numbers mixed up.
Larry's a little bit discombobulated. He's, you know, he was on 6-hour different time zone for a week.
Yeah, to me it's like 6 in the afternoon practically. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Now. So I'm having trouble adjusting and socializing.
Right. And he wants some treats. So if anybody has treats, bring them in for Larry.
Well, Melody has a question in some brewery, so that'll help. Melody, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I have a 4-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog, and she's very gentle, submissive with other dogs, just wonderful, except when the household, if we go out, I wouldn't say it's a separation anxiety, but we can go out and she's just fine, but she is so exuberant when we come home, which is a joy, but she's overly exuberant when we come home. How can we tame that down a little?
So thank you for your call. And I love Berners. Berners are a fun bunch of dogs. But the one thing I will say is, how is your greeting when you get home? A lot of people will throw gasoline on the fire and they get home and the dog thinks you're narrowly escaping death every time you get home and you're going, who's your poochie baby, right? And then your dog's like, yes, I'm so happy to see you too. So how we act can influence how our dog acts. So when you get home from whatever outing, and it's funny because a lot of dogs, whether you're gone for 5 minutes or 5 hours, they're going to greet you the same, right? So when you get home from an outing, make sure that you come in neutral. Hi, good girl. Stay calm and mellow. And maybe you could even leave some treats in your garage or on your front porch. And when you come in, immediately start feeding her treats and asking for, yeah, something basic like a sit or a down, and give her some treats and some mellow pets. And see if that doesn't help. Because when we get home and we are throwing a carnival, the dog will also want to be at the carnival and get excited and jump and be extra exuberant. And, you know, one, there's a little quote that's out there that says, you know, to your dog, you are its whole life. Mm-hmm. And when they get home, I mean, that's why I got the damn dog. Right? I want that love. I want that big greeting at the door. And it's really lovely. So try coming in the house a little bit more mellow and see if that helps.
Good luck with that, Melody. Thank you so much. Tom in River Falls, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I have almost a 3-year-old chocolate lab, and he's about 110 pounds, so he's quite large. And I cannot refrain him when people come to the door or in the yard. And he's so big, like he jumps up on my grandchildren who run away, which only gets them more excited. And I'm just kind of at my wit's end. Now, when they come into the house, I can say to him, place, and he goes, caught, you know. But when I'm outside, I'm just in a world of hurt. Any suggestions?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes the simplest answer is the one we want to manage. So a lot of what you're talking about is the rehearsal of behavior. He's off leash. He gets to charge at the fence. He's off leash. He gets to run to the people and chase the grandkids or nephews or nieces. So the first thing I would do is, in these moments where you can predict that he's going to be excited, is to put him on a leash. Right? Don't allow him the ability to rehearse that behavior and complete the behavior. Then what we work on is even doing some basic obedience and manners. So if he has a sit and a down and a stay, and I love that you have taught him go to place. What you do is you work those behaviors and you polish them up till they're nice and pretty. And then you introduce play in between those moments of stillness. What the play does is it creates what I call synthetic arousal. It gets them all excited and lathered up. And then what you do is you ask him to go back to the focus game, be it a stay, a sit, or a down, or a place. What he has to learn how to do is he needs to learn how to think when he's aroused so that he can listen when he's excited. Because what he's displaying is just excitability around people. Now, we also have to remember that we've bred these dogs for a long time to be exuberant and work alongside us. That's why I always laugh at dominance theory, because we didn't do all this domestication stuff just so that our dogs would try to dominate us, right? So with this youngish lab, you want to put him in places where he has to flex those obedience muscles when he's excited. So give that a shot. Work on some of his basic obedience and polish it up, and then start introducing like play and tug of war in between, and go from aroused to focused and back to focused and aroused. You keep bouncing back and forth, and you ask him to answer those questions that you're asking him to sit and stay in his place.
I love that idea. George Malara, our guest today, professional dog trainer. He's been with us a number of times on the show. It's always great to have him with us as we talk about socializing your dog and working with your dog in unusual situations. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News. We're taking a look at socializing your dog on the program today with George Malara. I hope you'll join in. If you have a question or a comment, maybe an experience, the number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you during our listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio last day of the drive. Jill Nadeau joins me, and this is the last day of our drive. Listener donations are the largest source of our funding. And if you've been meaning to give, don't wait. Now's the time, because the drive ends at 6 o'clock today. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And just as a reminder, this hour we're looking for 35 gifts. These are hourly goals, and they're important because they help us keep track financially so that we can keep the news coverage and conversations going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Do we know how many people have
phoned? No clue.
We have no idea. Throngs of people may have called in and donated, but we don't know for sure.
We
haven't had as many as we need. Think about when you're thinking about what amount to give. I hope you'll do some thinking and then make your choice. On Wisconsin Public Radio, you hear from the person who wrote the bill, who wrote the book, who has the unique experience like George Malara. We're glad to get these people, to find them and get them on the show. And it's your support, really, that makes this important work possible. You make great radio happen when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And a lot of times people ask, where do you find your experts? Because they're so good. And it's like, well, we work really hard to find those people. And your contributions help us do that, to bring you the best. And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. And when you think about it, a dollar a day is a pretty great value. It's less than that cup of coffee or that soda or a day of cell phone service.
And that comes out to about $30 a month. And you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or your charge, or charge it to your credit card. I do it on my credit card because then I get the points.
But I know, I do too.
Make your gift right now, and then I keep adding. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I became a sustaining member because I listened to WPR throughout the day. It's in my car, it's in my home. I know that there is always a topic of interest that I'll enjoy hearing. I like being a sustainer because I'm listening to Wisconsin Public Radio all the time anyway, and I would rather not have to worry about responding and making an extra phone call or sending in the envelope that gets mailed to me. I just like knowing that my money is there and will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come. I would say become a sustaining member because it's so very easy. Do it today, you'll be glad that you did. I'm Nancy from New Berlin, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I think you will too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, asking for your support of the quality programs you value on WPR with your gift right now during the last day of our fall member drive. And your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it makes a big difference.
And this member drive, support the WPR programs that you value and get a set of two WPR notebooks. They're pretty nice looking. They're letterpress. They're online. And they got a WPR theme on the cover. So when you give $12 or more, you can get those. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make entries in those notebooks, you can just think of Larry making entries into his notebooks that he's going to get, because and Sammy then, apparently has made it possible,
right.
So I get the credit during this program.
Yep.
I'll be making notes, and it'll be nice to have a collection of those notes for my from the authors that I've had. I wish I'd had, we should have done this 25 years ago.
Just don't leave them at home, Larry.
I keep forgetting. Oh, man. Sam in Fitchburg says, I'm donating now because of inflation. WPR needs cost of living raises, too.
Wise. Very wise, Sam. Thank you.
Very wise. And what about you? Give your gift right now. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And here we are with George Millard to talk about working with your dog and training your dog. And Sally in Plainfield has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Sally.
Hi. I have a dog that gets along good with a smaller dog, which only one dog that she gets along with. And any other dog, she's very aggressive and not very friendly.
Hmm. And is that smaller dog male or female?
It's a female.
And is it a dog friend from the neighborhood, or is it your other dog?
It's a friend dog from the neighborhood.
Okay. You know, relationships for dogs are similar to relationships with humans. And, you know, one thing that I tell people is that your dog doesn't have to get along with all the dogs in the world. I don't get along with everybody. You know, we have to make sure that we're allowing our dogs the space to choose certain friends. Now, when it comes to all the other dogs, all we're asking our dogs, you know, we're talking about socialization today, and it's the idea of your dog just getting along. Our previous caller, Rick, who was talking about his reactive dog, you know, when we talk about socialization, it's really just about your dog being able to exist with a dog across the street, just walking down the street. And, you know, I don't get super excited when I see a Toyota Corolla. But if I see a Ferrari or a supercar or a vintage car, I get excited because I like cars. So when it comes to your dog, if she has that one dog friend, looking at dogs that have the similar personality to the little dog can be your first step in venturing into the world of introducing her to other dogs. The other component here is, you know, like I said, your dog doesn't have to get along with every dog. And, you know, this is why, like, some dogs thrive at the dog park and some dogs don't. It's okay for your dog to have a very small group of friends, their core group of friends, and nothing more. So long as they have that opportunity to be social with some of your relatives' dogs or even that little dog, that's might be enough for her.
There you go, Sally. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Rita in Green Bay. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Larry. I love this topic. We had two schnauzers and two grandchildren that were about the same age. And they, when they came in the house, the kids and the schnauzers would get all excited. So I told the kids we were going to train Max and Willie, that's the dogs, so they wouldn't go crazy when they came in. So I told the dogs would be in their kennels, and I asked the grandkids to walk up to the kennel and let them smell their hands. And when the dogs were quiet, they could give the dogs a treat. I think I trained my grandkids very well, don't you?
That's absolutely wonderful. And I wish more people took the time. You know, the scary thing, I have a lovely little 9-year-old daughter named Love. And when she was little, she didn't have the understanding that our dogs were our dogs. And if she had a play date at a friend's house, that the rules for that dog were totally different. And that she had to treat that dog with the utmost respect. And she couldn't do the same thing she would do with our dogs with that new dog. And passing that message along is great. Because what you did for your grandkids was really protect them and keep them safe from dogs. Well done.
Well done, Rita. Thank you so much for calling. And Marshall and Madison, we'll go to you. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a little rescue. I got her at 1 year old. She's a mix between, we think, a border collie and a papillon. And she's a very sweet little girl, maybe slightly timid. We're fine in the dog park with other dogs. She usually chooses to ignore most of them. But when we're on leash and walking around the neighborhood, she can turn into little Cujo. Mm-hmm. I have tried walking on the other side of the street. I try to anticipate, but sometimes you're on a path and you turn the corner and there's someone. So I'm looking for any hints where I can de-escalate this besides moving across the street when we have maybe a more sudden occurrence or a closer in distance space from one another. So
yeah, and this is similar to the caller earlier, I think his name was Rick, where he had a dog that was reactive on leash. And really it's about pairing the other dog with food. And the timing of this is of the essence. So as you're walking down the street, what people generally do when they have a reactive dog is the human sees the dog coming down the block and they do three things. They wind up on the leash in preparation for all the tugging and lunging. They nervously talk to the dog. Okay, be a good girl. You can do it. And then the last thing they do is they use food as a distraction. So those are the three things we don't want to do, because then the dog learns that when you do one of those three things, poof, a dog appears. We want to flip that on its head, and we want to make sure that we wait until our pup sees the dog, and then we start feeding. Now, this is where people tend to look at me like I have 12 heads. They say, George, you want me to feed this dog when it's barking and lunging? Aren't I feeding the barking and lunging? And I say, no, you're not feeding the barking and lunging. You're feeding because that other dog exists. So a quick little analogy here. Larry and Jill obviously work together. And Jill despises Larry, right?
She, oh, totally.
Right? So
she beats me once.
So imagine I cast a spell on Jill and I say, every time you see Larry in studio and in the office, you're going to get the most violent heartburn in the world. Well, that's the equivalent of a punishment, right? You're walking down the street, your dog barks and lunges, you jerk on the leash, or you tell your dog no, and then the dog's like, whoa, I thought I didn't like dogs, but this person hates dogs. But now I take away that spell from Jill and I cast another one that says, every time you see Larry in the office and in studio, you're going to feel a warm pop in your pocket and there'll be a $100 bill.
Nice.
Where in the heck is Larry? I need Larry in my life. And here's the funny thing. We're just talking about imaginary money. but your brain's like, money, right? And the same thing happens with food for our dogs. So you build that association between dogs and food, and your dog will start to feel better, and they'll start to look at you more when they see dogs. But patience is the virtue.
Mm-hmm. Patience is a virtue, Marshall. Thank you so much for calling. George Malera, our guest, professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Great to have him with us, especially on this last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio fall member drive. And Jill Nadeau, who's been with me this whole show, and making sure that I don't fall asleep or something, because I'm just back from Scotland.
I was worried.
Your support as you listen, very important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertaining, and that's how it works, isn't it?
That is exactly how it works. So, you know, people who use it are the largest source of funding for it, and that just makes so much sense. And if you've been meaning to give, do so now, on the last day of this drive. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and that'll do it for you.
Our goal is 35 gifts this hour. Very important goal. It's set to make sure that we have the funding needed for the news and the conversations you rely on every day.
That's right, and we meet that goal one gift at a time. So join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's so much fun always to have George on the show, isn't it? He does an outstanding job of giving advice, and he can, in a couple of minutes, a minute or two sometimes only, gives advice that can make an absolutely huge difference in the life of a dog owner, and not only the owner, but the dog.
Yes, yes.
And I think it's one of the types of shows that we like to do because we think it benefits you as a listener. Maybe your life is enriched by it. How unique is public radio? My goodness, we're listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And ask for your set of two WPR notebooks when you give $12 a month or more. Your donation will support the programs that you listen to, like this one. And you also receive this really nice set of journals. You can doodle. You can put lists in it. They're online, so you can do whatever you want in it. Press some leaves. It's that time of year. Ask for your notebooks when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Katie, you are a peach. Thank you so much for those nice comments. What about you? Katie's given. You can join in, too, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Jill Nadeau joining me here to have you join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
That's right. And if you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do. It feels great to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift, let's say $10 or $20 a month, and you can enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio programming. It starts with your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I had a nice guy at one of our trips around the state say how much he enjoyed Wisconsin Public Radio. And he said, I brought in my annual gift.
Oh, that's right. He gave it to you.
And gave it to me. He said, I saved the stamp that way. And I said, I promise I will give you, I will get that to the right people at WPR, and I did.
Oh, good.
And, but it's, you know, here's somebody who really was thankful for the programming, and I tell you what, you could make your gift right now, and you're going to feel just like him, like he did. Make your gift $10, $20 a month, and what do? You go to WPR.org or your phone, 888-202-2552. We're going to need to go away pretty quick here for a look at the news.
But we'll be back.
If you haven't given, do it right now, and thank you for listening. Talking about socializing your dog today on the program with George Ballara, Larry Mueller here during our last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and Jill Nadeau believed that I couldn't get that 35 people without her melodious voice.
That's right.
So she's here to help as we talk with you about giving and about supporting and funding the funding for the programs you love. And that's your gift right now. Very important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 35 people to join
this
with a donation.
This is 35 more people.
35 more people?
I think so.
Oh, okay. If you say so, Larry, you're the boss. This goal is important. It's set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the funding needed to share the news and conversations that you and thousands of others count on every day. So give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And federal and state tax dollars, which of course do come from me and they come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR. But voluntary listener contributions are actually the biggest piece of the pie of support for WPR.
And that's really nice because you know what? Then you make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution for the service you value, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Another cool gift to talk about during our member drive, you can support the WPR programming you value and receive the Wisconsin Park System Entrance
Pass.
That's what it was. It's actually the state park sticker, if you get right down to it. If you give $20, $25 a month or more, you'll enjoy a year's worth of access to dozens of parks and recreation areas, all while supporting the public media service you and your neighbors rely on. So you can ask for your Wisconsin State Park sticker now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've listened all over the country, you know, traveling, you try to find the public stations. What we have here is so wonderful, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. And it is, for many people, I think it's, they can't get out, but they can find out what's going on by turning on the radio. I'm John Ink from Wausau, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for education and information. It comes to you. You don't have to go hunt it down.
Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. This is the Fall Member Drive. Jill Nadeau and I want to tell you that listener support is the biggest source of our funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a big impact.
And you know what? It's easy. All you have to do is just take a few minutes of your time, and a gift of any amount works, say $10 a month.
$10 a month sounds like a good amount, but whatever amount you choose is right, and the donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
You always learn something new. That's one of the things that I love about living. And this member drive, support the WPR programs that you value and get access to dozens of Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with the annual admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give $25 a month now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations. You can take it from your bank account or your credit card. Get started right now at WPR.org or phone, 888-202-2552.
That's right. And like Jennifer in Oconomowoc says, I love when my kids repeat something they heard on WPR. We've had some great conversation starters from WPR topics. I love that.
And Phil in Mount Horeb says, I'm going to donate annually.
Good for you, Phil.
He became a sustaining member. Well, your gift right now, if whether you're a sustainer or not, is powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 as we talk with George Malara, professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. Let's go to Goldie in Oregon. Goldie, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me. George and I go back a ways. I don't know if George remembers me back from a rescue years ago.
I recognize the name Goldie. Which rescue was it? JR Pups?
It was Lola.
Oh, Lola's, of course.
Lola's, of course. I'm calling about a rescue. My daughter is also doing rescue now. She has a pit bull mix that is deemed not friendly with other dogs, so it is severely limiting the people that are interested in seeing her or even meeting her. Is there a way to integrate a dog like that is deemed unfriendly and doesn't want to be with other dogs into another dog pack or with another dog? Should that even be attempted?
You know, it really depends on what the history of the dog is. If that dog has a history of, you know, attacking or putting other dogs in a dangerous place, then I would say it wouldn't be worth it. You know, we have to try to find those places and trust that I know exactly where you are with this, you know, finding a single dog household. And you know, and it's not even the single dog household that's the issue, is that you remember that family and friends have dogs, and there's dogs in, you know, in your neighborhood, and there's just a lot of places where dogs are. So it's always a tall order when people ask, like, oh, well, should I try socializing? You know, if this dog already has a history of not getting along with dogs, I would probably err on the side of caution and just keep it as a single dog household. It really depends on the dog. There are some dogs that are more dog shy or dog conservative, and you can sort of find a dog that's really mellow and chill and relaxed and start introducing like really calm dogs to certain dogs. But if this dog has a history of not getting along with dogs, I'd probably just do your best to find that single adoptive home.
I have a dog that I care for from time to time, Lila, who I was out with her once, and there was a guy with a black lab that was off leash, wasn't supposed to be, but the dog came running up to Lila, barking and growling, and Lila just kind of looked at him, and the other dog stopped, and couldn't believe that Lila wasn't either afraid. I mean, Lila was just calmly looking at the dog.
Every time you share stories about Lila, I just love her more and more. She couldn't be bothered. She's like, I don't got time for you. But think about that, you know, like if somebody comes at you with aggression or yelling at you, that was my parking spot, Larry, you jerk, right? Mm-hmm. And if you just sort of neutralize it by not giving that energy back, a lot of times that can resolve the issue.
It did resolve the issue with that black lab.
Yeah. And so because that's the idea of socialization. A dog was barking at her and being, you know, aggressive, and she was just cool, calm, and collected. The dog stopped and she was able to move on.
Yeah.
To me, that's the pinnacle of socialization. Just not being neutral.
Yeah. Goldie, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye, Goldie.
Anne in Janesville, it's your turn. Hi, Anne.
Hi, I have a seven-year-old rescue dog, and every time we travel with her, anytime we turn a corner or turn our blinker on, she starts to howl.
So she howls when the blinker comes on.
I'm glad she can still laugh about this. Right. Good way to go, Anne.
So I have a couple of questions. So, you know, We saw this call coming through, and Jill and I were talking about, you know, like different tones. So like I drive an older car. When I turn on my signal, it just clicks, and there's no warning to that, you know, I'm a like a geriatric driver with my blinker on for 20 miles. So tell me about your blinker.
Well, it does do the little click, 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 but even if I've tried just not using the blinker, which I don't like to do, but I tried just turning without using it, and she'll still, the motion of the car when I turn, she starts to howl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's in... We travel sometimes a distance, and it gets to be kind of an interesting day.
Well, I'm not affiliated with any law enforcement, but please make sure you use your turn signals.
Yes.
The one thing I would recommend is taking a drive around town, and if you have like a friend or a partner or a husband, spouse, have them ride in the back seat. So what you're going to do is you're going to, you know, announce the turn and start making the turn and then begin to feed her. It's hard to tell whether or not the turn, why she doesn't like the turn or what the howling is motivated by. You know, a lot of times when a dog is barking, I'll ask my clients, like, what's your dog's motivation, right? Is it because there's a perimeter breach? Is it they're scared? They heard a noise, you know, whatever.
Or if it's slowing down.
Who knows?
To make the turn. Because if you put the directional on, you're slowing down. And I wonder if it's not that motion.
But they'd slow down to stop, too.
Correct.
So.
Well, follow-up question. Will she do that when you signal on the highway?
Yes.
So it's a highway lane changes are not as...
Yeah.
It's not a right turn, right? So the fact that she's still doing it in those cases, it tells me more about it being about the blinker and not the turn. So I would have somebody ride in the back seat and then just make a bunch of turns and feed her some chicken. And see, and then after a little bit, see if you can make the turn without the howl. Does she, and this is totally Pavlovian, blinker means food. So you blink, you turn your signal on, make your turn. If she's quiet, then you feed after you've made the turn and then slowly start fading out the food. But teaching her that turns are good through the use of food can be really helpful.
Yeah. Give it a shot, Ann. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Dogs are silly little creatures.
Tony in the town of Middleton emailed us with a kind of a couple of questions here. One, are off-leash parks good for dog socialization? Address that, and then I'll give you the second half.
So the way I talk, so I'm originally from New York City, and I abhorred dog parks because they were the size of a postage stamp and there was like 80 dogs and it was just a recipe for disaster. So when I was in New York, I was against them. I moved here and I saw the 22 acre small dog park and I was like, wow, there's so much more space for dogs. So my tune has changed. Now, it does depend on the dog. Not all dogs are dog park dogs. Some dogs really thrive and some dogs don't. So when we talk about going to the dog park, I've heard the dog park described. There's a famous trainer named Trish King who says, dog parks are like a cocktail party where everybody's wasted. You can go and have a great time, and you can go and have a bad time. So it really has to do with the personality of the dog and whether or not they're emotionally capable of thriving in a dog park. I think that's the wrap for the first question. So understanding if your dog enjoys the dog park would be number one. If that's the case, yes, dog park can be a nice place to socialize, but remember that they're socializing with the volume turned up. Lots of excitement, lots of energy, and lots of smells. And, you know, when I go to the dog park with my clients' dogs, we have to make sure that we're focusing what we're working on. So I wouldn't work on recalls or starting to do any new behaviors at the dog park. I would focus on just some eye contact, just having them look at me, maybe coming from a short distance, really basic stuff, just staying connected. And then if they're playing with dogs, taking breaks, repeated breaks from play, because play will just continue to escalate until there's an argument. Because as dogs get more aroused, their mouths get a little bit harder, they get a little bit more careless with their bodies, and they start slamming into each other, and that can cause a little argument, a little spat. Say, hey, don't bite me so hard, or hey, don't bang into me like that. So being aware and taking a lot of breaks from play is essential for the dog park.
Great answer to that question. And we'll get to the second half of that in a minute, but here's Jill waving her hands frantically trying to get me to talk and to remind you that you're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio News. We're talking about socializing your dog today on the program. Great to have George Malara with us. And if you have a question for George, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can email to talk@wpr.org. During the last day of our fall member drive, Jill Nadobak with me, and your contribution keeps this program and all the programs strong here at WPR. $10 a month, maybe? $100 a month, maybe? Every gift, any amount makes a difference because the largest share of our funding comes from people just like you. So donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you are learning how to handle your dog right now, then be one of 35 people to join in. And with a gift, funding for WPR News stays on track. If you do, make your contribution now, any amount that works for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So much fun talking with George Malara. And he's done other times when we were on pledge drives, but also when we weren't. And I know we probably talk with 20, 30 people during the course of the day. There may be, each of those people may be representing 1,000 other people with the same question, mm-hmm. the same needs. And I think this is why these kinds of programs are so important. A lot of people's lives are enriched by the advice that George gives. And here we are, listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many other hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
You know, though, Larry, I wonder how many thousands of people have a dog that starts howling when their blinker goes on. I bet you there's not that many. And you know what? If you're looking for an easy way to make a gift to WPR, why don't you just become a sustaining member? It comes out automatically out of your bank account or your credit card. Makes it so easy.
I know a lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100. The amount's really up to you. As a sustainer, you're an ongoing member of WPR. I had a friend of mine who raised her amounts by $1 a month because that qualified her for one of our premiums.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, so that's $12 extra a year. Yeah,
extra smart. $12 was what she needed to get into that category. maybe you're in that situation as well. Anyway, you can start today becoming a sustainer at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This member drive, WPR can help you explore all our great state has to offer. Ask for next year's Wisconsin State Park sticker when you give $25 a month or more for the WPR programs you value. From scenic dells to dramatic bluffs, with this pass, you'll enjoy access to dozens of parks and recreation areas. Tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio along the way, and you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you made it all possible. Give now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support makes this program and the other programs you enjoy possible. And maybe you want to give $10 or maybe $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount.
Yeah, what do you spend $10 on? Cafe food or books or games or apps, whatever. There's so many things that make your day better. And just like Wisconsin Public Radio. And with a gift of $10 a month, you can make a difference for the public service that you rely on.
And our drive ends at 6 o'clock today. That still leaves you time, but not too much. And frankly, I'd love to have you do it during this hour.
Yes,
we haven't given
we
yet. Take a couple of minutes to make your gift right now.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you, thank you, thank you. Make today the day that you increase your support for WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Elliot in Beloit says, Wisconsin Public Radio programs have served an integral role in my life. Thank you for your intelligent, thorough, and entertaining reporting and programs.
Nice,
I love that.
Nice.
Thank you so much. If you haven't given, do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we have lots of questions for George Callers online. One is Bobby from Gays Mills. Bobby, what's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, my question is, I have a dog that I got when he was two. I've had him for a couple years now. And he was always on a chain outside, but now he's an inside and outside dog at the yard. But when he's reactive to storms, he's afraid.
It seems like they make him mad, Bobby says. She was breaking up a little bit there, George. Bobby, thanks for calling.
You know, with dogs that are storm phobic, we always have to look at it as a spectrum. There are some dogs that hear a little thunder and they just go creep into, you know, the tub, or they go into the closet where it's a little bit more muffled and quiet. So if your dog happens to be out, I don't believe that your dog is now chained up outside. I think you rescued him from that situation. But some people have a tie out. Some people have their dogs outside to get a little bit of fresh air. Watch your weather app. Pay attention to what's coming in the forecast. And I would prepare for that accordingly. So some people will use some sort of CBD or some sort of medicine just to sort of take the edge off the storm. Some people will try to exercise their dogs before the storm. But everything that needs to happen before the storm. And then something else I do is, you know, I recommend putting on the air conditioning, putting on, you know, the Larry Mueller show on WPR.
It's always soothing.
It's always so soothing.
Puts me to sleep all the time.
just preparing your household just to try to stave off a little bit of that external noise. And just snuggle up to your dog. You know, one common myth that I really, really, I would say it gets under my skin is when people say you should never soothe or coddle a scared dog. Well, number one, you can't reinforce an emotion. And number two, if I have a fearful dog of storms, let's say, and I get close to it and I squish them and I love on them and I'm kissing them and I'm petting them, and they stop panting and they relax and their breathing changes,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. So if I snuggle a dog, it should make it worse, but it doesn't. That's the thing. So snuggle your dogs if they're scared.
Bobby, thanks again. I want to go back to Tony in the town of Middleton, who had a two-part question. And, of course, in my addled brain, I forgot to ask the second part. But Tony's wondering, are doggy daycares good for dog socialization?
And, again, I have to say it depends, because there's so many variables that are there. Number one would be the staff. Like, how well trained are the staff members? Are the staff members watching, you know, a couple of YouTube videos and then, you know, they're calling themselves dog trainers? Or do you have a staff that is really, really well learned in dog behavior and dog body language? So it really depends. And I always tell people, let the buyer beware. Do your homework. Ask them what happens in, you know, what a day in the life of doggy daycare looks like. And you can always do a test run and see how it goes. I prefer people use doggy daycares that have access to cameras so you can monitor your dogs while you're not there, when you're at work, and you're, you know, you got a little window open on your computer and you can watch your pups play, because we want to make sure we all have to keep our eyes on the dogs. We have to keep an eye on them. But a doggy daycare could be a great place if the staff is well versed in dog behavior.
Let's go to Karen in Fall Creek. Hi, Karen. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. So I think it's been almost 2 years now. We were supposed to have this as a foster dog, and we ended up rescuing it. The dog was in a family where the husband was abusive, and he actually put the wife in the hospital. And so and they had kids, and the lady said that the dog was, like, trying to protect the wife and the kids from the husband. That's the background that I have. I don't even know if it's true. But he, I think, fear bites. So, like, if I have a stranger come to my house, an electrician, let's just say, he will try and go behind that person, and he will bite them. And he's bitten numerous people. Ooh. And so the only thing that I've done now is that, I mean, we just put him away. He knows that when somebody comes, I'm putting him away, you know. But he also is a double marrow. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I tried putting him on Alprazolam, made him psycho. That didn't work. So now he's actually on 40 milligrams of fluoxetine.
So you said something that I didn't quite catch. So you said he's double what?
Double Merrill.
Oh, you mean the color, the dapple fur?
Well, because he's bred to, you're never supposed to breed two Merrill color dogs.
Right.
Apparently that can cause issues
Correct.
With them physically, mentally, whatever.
Right.
And so I had a trainer come to the house a couple years ago when I first got him. She took one look at him. She said, oh, he's a double Merrill. And I'm like, what is wrong?
Yeah, and with that, with those genetic defects, you can see blindness, you can see deafness, you can see, aggression, you can see a lot of different behavioral issues. Now, for this dog specifically, because he's about 4 years old, and we know what he'll do if he is out with somebody, safety is obviously the first and foremost important thing. I would put him behind a door, and I would treat your house sort of like a submarine, right? You can't open one hatch until you've closed the other, making sure that he's just isolated. Now, one thing you can do to do a little bit of pairing is when you do have to put him away, we don't want him to think that he's in trouble because people are coming in the home. So be sure to give him like a little stuffed Kong or a Chewy to work on whenever he's being isolated when people come over. It's not the most effective type of training, but it's a nice management tool, and he won't feel so bad being put away when people come in the house.
Right.
The other big component here is, if you have friends and family that are okay with him and that he's okay with them, you can have them do a little bit of training just to keep his social circle strong where it is. But if you have any inclinations of him potentially biting somebody, you really have to put him away and make sure he's secure so that he doesn't, continue with the habit of biting.
Yeah, for sure. Karen, thank you. Thea.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Thea in Iowa. Your turn. Hi, Thea.
Hi. My mom has adopted a 5-year-old black lab mix, and he loves to chase our house cats. So when I tell him no, he will growl at me and advance at me like he's going to bite. When she tells him no, he's fine. She can actually grab him and he's fine. And I see him every day, so we're pretty social. But
interesting.
So I don't know how to handle it. She tells me, don't act like you're afraid of him, but it's pretty scary.
Yeah, and aggression begets aggression. So we never want to be sort of, barky at him. People spend too much time teaching what is no, or they try to. And with that long no list, right, don't chase the cat, don't poop in my shoe, don't eat the curtains, don't eat the furniture, don't no, 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 no. What is yes? So we don't want him chasing the cat. So one thing I would do is when you're there, especially, you're going to have a nice big pouch of treats ready to go, and you're going to put him on leash. And if a cat happens to wander into the room, you're going to immediately start feeding him. Even if he perks up, because we have to sort of have our guidelines. So if we say, well, you're allowed to look at the cat, you're on the couch, you look up at the cat, no big deal. But you're not allowed to get off the couch and commit to chasing. So what you do is when the cat enters the room, he might pick his head up. You say, good boy. You give him a couple of treats and then you wait. If he still doesn't get up off the couch to chase the cat, you say, what a good boy. You give him a couple more treats. So he's going to start associating what is yes. When cats walk into the room, it's a good thing. And when I don't chase, I get treats. Now, the leash is there as your tether, as your sort of safety net, so he can't commit to finishing the chase. Now, on the flip side to this is your relationship with him. So one thing I would have you do is, again, with a nice bunch of treats, you're going to practice grabbing his collar, giving him a treat, pet him on the head, give him a treat, take him by the collar, walk him into a different room, give him a treat. The idea is that he has to have a relationship with you, which is probably why your mom has a good connection with him, and you might not, because if every time you go there, and I'm not saying you don't love on him and give him attention, but if you go there and you're just reprimanding for cat stuff, he's like, well, I don't like this lady. She's mean.
So give him some treats when you...
Yep, when your cat's around.
When the cat's around. Thea, thank you. Suzanne in Madison, your turn. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, from Madison. Hi. We have a Yoshan puppy. Well, he's not a puppy anymore. As you have said earlier, I think he's an adult. He just turned 4.
Yes, adult.
And, So is it because he's part Yorkshire Terrier that he's such a barker? I mean, he would bark until he'd have a sore throat and then continue to bark anyway. You put him outside, he says, don't bark, and we treat him if he doesn't. But he'll come right out the door and just start barking automatically. Or if he looks out the window and he sees somebody walking down the street, even on the other side, he's like, well, this is my street, so you don't belong here. And then he starts barking. What can we do to curtail this? It just drives me bonkers sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, and again, like I just spoke with the previous caller, you know, it's what you're trying to do is teach what is no. We don't want the barking. Well, what do you want him to do? So a couple things I'd have you do on a walk is make sure you have a bunch of yummy treats ready to go, and you're going to, you know, be bopping along. And if he's quiet when he is walking nicely next to you, you're going to feed him. You're going to give him some treats. What he's going to start doing, you're switching his brain to food acquisition, and he's like, hey, I want more food. So he'll bop along next to you. And then anytime he sort of glances up at you, you say, good boy. And you give him a couple of treats. You'll see that by feeding him for what is yes. And sometimes the absence of behavior is exactly what we want. So when he's not barking, we want to reinforce him, especially if there's something in the area that might be stimulating him to bark. So if there's a person bringing in their garbage cans and he looks at them, but then doesn't bark, what a good boy. Treat, treat, treat. We have to feed for what is yes. And remembering no is not a behavior. So making sure that you have those treats, and you'll start to see it happen quickly. He's not old at all. He's going to start picking up on the fact that walking nicely next to you and being quiet is the correct behavior. And then I'm not saying it's going to cure it right away, but, you know, over time, persistence and perseverance, and you'll be well on your way to having a little bit more of a quiet dog. But barking is normal for dogs.
It is indeed. Thank you very much, Suzanne, for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us to talk@WPR.org. Our guest, George Malara, trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at socializing your dog today on the program, Larry Mueller here with our guest, George Malara. Always great to have George come by and be with us. And you can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234 or shoot us an email to talk@WPR.org. On this, the last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and Jill Nadobak with me. Listener support's the biggest source of our funding. And your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes WPR the reliable service it is with programs you enjoy every day. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And when 35 people join this hour, we'll be on track to support the quality and variety of programs that you enjoy every day on WPR News. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-powered, and that means your donation right now makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We get great guests on Wisconsin Public Radio because they know you will ask great questions.
That's
and
true.
Many guests have said and remarked on that. And they also know they won't be interrupted very much along the way. Your support makes this possible. You are the most reliable source of funding. So please do give now at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
And if you think about it, it's really easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine. You're like, you're getting your coffee or you're going to buy your favorite snack.
I was thinking about the little ounce of scotch that I would have in Scotland each evening after our last meal of the day.
Mm-hmm. How much you spend on that, Larry?
That was about $10. Uh-huh. About $10.
You could have had 10 days of programming.
10 days of programming. You know, what about a dollar a day? Man, $30 a month, maybe that's the right donation for you. You sign up right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and support the programs you count on.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Bruce, thank you so much. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nonneau, asking for your support for the quality programs that you value on WPR. With your gift right now, your contribution could be $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a big difference.
Maybe you have been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we're listener-supported. Well, listen up. We are. The largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
I don't know how they could not know that.
I don't
that.
Know either, Larry. You know how it is. You got something on and you just don't pay attention.
Well, you know, and maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you like what you heard.
True.
So there's that. You're still listening. So now is the perfect time to support the programs you rely on. Your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this member drive supports the WPR programs that you value, and you get access to dozens of Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with an annual admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give $25 a month right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up. It's really convenient. And you're making those ongoing monthly donations from your bank account, or what I like is from the credit card to get the points. You can get started right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Kathy and Merrill says, I love the information that is shared. It is a way for me to learn and grow. You betcha, Kathy.
you bet. And your gift right now, what about you? Your gift right now, very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. And callers online to take some questions for you, George. So let's go to Leif in Madison first. Hi, Leif.
Hello. Hi, Larry. Longtime listener, first-time caller, and proud supporting member.
Woohoo!
yeah.
I work at a great office that has is dog-friendly, and we have a new addition of a dog that is about a year and a half old and part healer. And she likes to go after people's heels as they are exiting the space. And we're all kind of wondering how we can help to curb that behavior.
Really? That's a really interesting situation. George, do you get those kind very often?
A lot.
Oh, you do?
Well, if you think about it, we've been breeding really specific breeds for so much time.
Yeah.
And then people, they clutch their pearls and go, oh my God, my golden retriever just keeps on picking up my socks or my shoes. Yeah, they have this horrible oral fixation. Or the cattle dogs or the heelers that nip at the heels. Remember that cattle dogs, I mean, they're bred to run bulls and cattle. Mm-hmm. That's not sheep, right? And they can be quite violent when they, you know, when they're kicking and stuff. So these dogs had to have a lot of drive and a lot of, you know, like cared well, just like I'm going for it. So now we have them in the house. And yeah, it's not crazy for them to herd the children or herd the family
or herd the workers.
Or herd the workers, right? Get back to work. So one of the things that you can do, depending on how your office is set up, is you can have like a community treat bin where everybody grabs a handful and you have that dog there. And as you pass the dog, you just throw a couple treats. And you're teaching the dog to stay in place, not chase feet. And if the dog happens to chase feet, what you can do is close the door to the office and the dog doesn't have access to the people. Because I'm guessing the dog is friendly overall if he's able to be in the office. So by feeding for what is yes, again, I love that we have a thread running through what is yes, walking past the dog and throwing some treats will over time teach the dog not to get up and chase and instead just stay put, and that people move around and that's not something that he has to do. Now,
I would, if this dog is doing that in the office, I'd be careful around children and stuff because we don't want the dog to chase a kid on a scooter and give a little nip because then we'll have other issues at hand. Mm-hmm. But in the office, toss some treats and walk on by. And if he chases, shut the door so he's in a little timeout in the office.
Or if you go in, you have some treats with you, you give him a treat before you leave or as you're leaving.
Exactly right.
Or you go in and you walk out backwards so your heels are
so you're safe.
I'm so helpful, aren't I?
You are a font of information, Jill. I can tell.
Next question.
Let's go on to Denise. Thanks, Lee. Let's go on to Denise in Oregon. Hi, Denise.
Hi. My daughter has a nine-month-old golden retriever. And she has been to puppy school, and she's actually doing pretty well with commands, except for one thing that she's got a jumping problem. So when we walk through the door, she gets so excited that she jumps on you. And what they've started to do is put her on a leash, so when people are coming through the door, visiting, or she hasn't seen you in a while, just to make her sit until she calms herself. And that seems to work some of the time, but I was just wondering if there are any other suggestions or that we can do to help control her, from jumping so much. And I understand she's, somewhat still a puppy at 9 months. But any suggestions that you could
absolutely
pass on?
Absolutely. Thank you for your call. So one of the things that I recommend is touch, sit, touch. And here's how it works. What you're going to do is, and you do this before, you don't try to train this when you're coming home because she's already too excited. You're going to do this after once you're home and you're sort of relaxing with her. You ask her, and for this exercise specifically, it doesn't matter if she's sitting or lying down. What you're going to do is pet her and engage her, right? And you're going to pet her and give her some good scratches and really love on her. And then you're going to stop touching her. This is the point where dogs generally say, engage launch sequence, right? And they want to launch and get, keep petting me, keep petting me. So what you're going to do is you're going to pause the petting for just a fraction of a second and then go back to petting her if she doesn't jump. If she happens to jump up, you're going to turn your back and just walk away. The reason we do this before you come home is because we want to practice the behavior in an environment that's conducive to learning. She can't do it when you're coming home from the supermarket or from being out for a bit because she's way too excited because she's still little. So you pet, 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 you stop petting and you wait a second and then you say, good girl, and you start petting her again. Keeping your verbal praise low can also be really helpful because when we praise our dogs, like I said earlier, it throws gas on the fire and it just gets them really ramped up. The other thing to practice is you can take some of those exercises that she learned from puppy class and you start sandwiching in play in between the games. So if you worked on stay or place or sit or down, you start sandwiching in play in between those to create what I call synthetic arousal. We're getting them all lathered up and then we're asking him to do something that requires focus. And remember that at this age, she's totally an adolescent, and this is when we have to be the most patient with our pups because there's a lot of wiring happening in her brain. So we have to be patient, and this is not a time to push. It's a time to be patient. And then instructing people when they come over your home just to keep it mellow and keep it chill, and you can even have them come in with treats and deliver treats for holding her position. Food causes focus in dogs. Play causes drive and speed and movement. So when we need our dogs to mellow out, I tend to use a lot more food because I want them to sort of chew and relax and have that that bite of mac and cheese, right? right? That calming behavior.
Mm-hmm. So if you have people like Denise comes in the house or comes around the corner, she should, and it's her daughter's dog, I think, she should have some treats.
Yep. And then the add-on to that is in those moments, so after doing the pet, sit, pet, or the petting and stopping, you're going to start to do little pushes where you pet her, pet her, pet her, you stop petting, and you go, who's my good girl, right? And you start to entice her to possibly want to jump. But if she doesn't and she keeps her composure, you can go ahead and go back to petting. So teaching her that when she jumps, I'm out of here. If you remain with 4 feet on the floor, I'll continue to touch you and snuggle you.
Denise, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. What about clicker training, George?
Now you're talking my language, Larry.
Yeah.
I love me some clicker training. There's a lot of different names for it. So there's clicker training, there's shaping, and then there's capturing. So clicker training is just phenomenal because it really works a dog's brain deeper than the way I describe clicker training is it's like the hot and cold game, right? I take your base, your WPR hat and I hide it. And then I send you off to go find it. I'm like iceberg, freezing cold, warmer, warmer, hot, hot, hot. Boom, you found it. So in clicker training, what we're doing is we're rewarding for approximation of behavior. Every time the dog gets a little bit closer, we're rewarding them each step of the way. And it's how we would all learn, right? If I handed you a trumpet right now, chances are you'd sound like a dying goose.
If I could even get a sound out at all.
But if I leave it with you for a couple months, I come back, I might get some hot cross buns or a little twinkle, twinkle, little star, right? But you've had time to practice that. It didn't happen overnight, right? How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Practice.
So for our dogs, it's the same thing. We start small. There's a really brilliant dog trainer and behaviorist named Bob Bailey. And he says, we have too high of expectations of our dogs and not high enough expectations of ourselves.
On that
good
note,
words.
George Malara, our guest today, professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Great to have him with us, especially on the on this last day of our drive, and we've got the last minutes of the drive. If you would like to contribute during our show, your gift, any amount, makes a big difference, doesn't it, Joe?
It certainly does, because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So if we don't get listener support, well, hey, we won't be here for very long. That means that your support funds this program as well as all the other WPR shows that you count on. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And our goal this hour, 35 gifts. These hourly goals, very important. They help us stay on track financially. So to help on that cause, give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So many of us have pets these days, and you know, if our dog's not happy, then we're probably not happy either. So stuff like this is so important for everybody. So even if you don't have a dog, you probably know someone who does. And now you have ways to make them happy and yourself. And you know, WPR is listener supported, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
You might think of WPR as your daily connection to Wisconsin, and this member drive let us connect you with even more of what Wisconsin has to offer. Our state park sticker, when you give $25 a month or more, it begins with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
There's good pennies and there's bad pennies, and we just heard from a good penny.
We did.
What about you? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation during our drive. Join in with your gift right now, because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community. And thank you very much for your support.
And think about this. You can turn on your radio every day without an upfront charge. Try doing that with Netflix, right? And you can enjoy hours of, you know, in-depth conversation, great entertainment. WPR is available to everyone because listeners like you help cover the costs.
Join in today. In fact, do it in the next couple of minutes. Become a member with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And ask for your annual Wisconsin State Park sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Support one treasured Wisconsin resource, WPR, and get access to a year's worth of another, the state park system. Ask for your park sticker now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Jill and I really enjoy hosting this program, and Jeff Robbins, our technical director, loves it too, as do Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud. We love doing this show.
And Lee Rayburn.
Lee Rayburn. We love doing this show because of what we feel we give to the listeners of Wisconsin. What about you? Give right now. The number's 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org.